Good morning and welcome to Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. As always, we begin our time together with Nachshli 7 and Let It Be.
Lord, I pray for this day we've come together, that our hearts and our minds reflect you.
As always, I like to applaud you for taking the next 45 minutes or so out of your busy Sunday to join as we link hearts and minds in community to deepen in our awareness, in our connection, in our communion with the sacred ground of being God in us as us. If you are joining us for the first time, I invite you to put the phone on speaker, put it beside you, sit comfortably, or lie, and just allow the words that we are sharing this morning to saturate your being, your consciousness. We are continuing with the exploration of the various archetypes. As I've shared before, we're just focusing on 12, but there are many. An archetype is simply an energy that exists in and through all of us. Every culture, throughout history, every race has archetypes. The divine mind, the infinite intelligence, expresses itself in and through and all around us. Our consciousness is connected to all beings, because we are part of the oneness, the one life, the one mind, the one intelligence, using it as we are able according to the level of consciousness with which we are expressing at any given time. One of the most profound ways we can access this connection is through understanding the stories, the narratives that we are living and believing about ourselves. There are many ways with which we can understand the stories and how they have influenced us and who has influenced us to create these stories, be it parents or friends or peers or even some of the stuff we came into this world with. And it was the psychologist Carl Jung that explored them, that recognized and named them archetypes as the universal patterns for which humans are motivated by, which actions and values are carried out. It is one of the interesting things as I started to deep dive into this, and as I shared with you last week, it has been a subject I have wished to avoid. And as always, one cannot avoid what the Spirit has in mind for you to do. And so as I've looked at this, and you can't but help as you are studying each one, looking to see which aspects of yourself that particular archetype is hitting upon. And we're always expressing one or two archetypes at the same time. Archetypes of both the light and the shadow, which we will come to eventually. And it's the stories that we live, the stories we tell ourselves, that allow us to believe and express who we are. And it doesn't matter where we are on our journey, because as I have found out recently, the story I have been telling myself over and over again, that I was not artistic, I was not the clever one. Growing up, I've shared with you before, my two older brothers, one was particularly artistic, the other one was particularly clever. I felt like I was average. I remember telling my mother that I must have been hiding behind the barn door when God was giving out talents, because I didn't have any. And that was a narrative and a story I have believed for most of my adult life. And it was only literally, I think, last week when I was finishing putting together something I was creating for a friend's birthday that I said to myself, it's about time you really stop telling yourself you are not artistic. Whilst I cannot draw or paint, it doesn't mean I'm not artistic. I always defined that I was creative, but not particularly artistic. But it's interesting, that was the story I had told myself for decades. And each and every one of us has a story we have told ourselves that makes us believe that is the truth of who we are. And it's not. It really isn't. We are, as I think it was Pierre de Chardin said, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. We are in constant evolution, because at any time and every time, because we are part of the infinite intelligence, the divine mind, we can change. We can use our faith and allow spirit to change whatever patterns of belief we have been holding onto. Now, when I say that, please understand, the divine, the sacred, the holy of holies will not be dropping something out of the sky down through the heavens to you that suddenly, whoosh, you will change. No. The divine will work with you as you consciously start to choose a different pattern of believing, thinking, speaking about yourself, feeling about yourself, the story of telling yourself. It will start to change as you start to change. As you recognize that the limiting and the limitations you are placing upon yourself. On Friday, I had the first for the year, my reminder session for my women's group that are, for those that are up here close to me. And a friend shared how she had beat cancer, but the fear kept arising that because her sister-in-law had had the same, and the doctors told her it was all clear, but it had to come back, she was afraid that hers too might come back. That was the story she had created and she was telling herself. I promptly reminded her that God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And as you start to affirm and believe and relate to that, that's how the spirit is going to work through you to change that feeling, that story, that narrative. And so as we recognize the divine mind within us, we can adapt, we can transform, we can transmute the stories we've created, the beliefs that we are formulating, the feelings that we've held on to for so long. We are more than the stories we tell ourselves. Excuse me. We are more than the beliefs we have held on to, because that was what we were told when we were growing up. That is what our family made us believe. That is what we think we are. We are so much more. At our core, the seed of our soul, our true self, is joy, is love, is light. It's God. So when we recognize these various archetypes that are playing out, we can work on changing, either enhancing the more positive aspects or on diminishing the less than positive aspects. If it's something that is good that we need to develop, then we can work on that. We can give that our attention. If it's something that will help our personality be more whole, more expressive of the Creator, then that's what we will work on. So this week, we are looking at the archetype, the realist. The realist, sometimes known as the orphan or the everyman, the person next door, the kind of the someone that doesn't stand out too much, the regular Joe, the good Samaritan, the next door neighbor, the type that you wouldn't necessarily go, oh, yeah, that must be the realist. They're the ones that believe in looking at reality and dealing with it. They are the ones that try to anticipate problems and try and avoid them. They particularly like belonging to a group where everyone can rely on each other. They are naturally empathetic and unpretentious. They're resilient. They can often demonstrate the common touch. And at times they will motivate others to try and do their best. The things about realists is that as well as being competent and handling practical tasks, they like to fit in and they like to help others fit in. They like to get to work with others and solve problems. But the downside of a realist is that they can use their past experiences and particularly their negative experiences to keep them feeling like the victim, to keep them in the mindset that they are hard done by, that the world is against them, that everything is not necessarily doom and gloom, but it's challenging for them. They feel that they've been abused, and sometimes rather than dealing with things alone by themselves, they would rather be a part of a group, even if it's like a lynch mob. Realists have to be really careful about not playing the victim and not developing undue pessimism. They need to watch being cynical or being negative, of having the us versus them mentality. And sometimes because a realist so wants to blend in and fit in, they can lose themselves. The realist archetype is a multifaceted individual with a unique set of strengths and weaknesses. If you explore the realist personality, you can gain a deeper understanding how they approach the world and everything and everyone around them. So I think when you think of a realist in a cinema, the realist would be like in the Harry Potter series, the Ron Atkinson type. In the Lord of the Rings series, it would be the Bilbo Baggins. Just ordinary folks, not particularly outstanding, just fitting in. And when you look at it as from an organizational approach, it would be organizations or companies like IKEA or Gap. Not doing anything too outlandish, just regular. So that's how they appeal to you. The archetypes in organizations or in characters, it's what resonates with that particular archetype in yourself. As I shared before last week, there will always be characters we see on television or in the cinema that we resonate with. That's because the archetype that's being portrayed in that character is resonating with the archetype that's in you. My sacred text this morning, the first is from Colossians 3:23-24. Whatever you do, work heartedly as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. Luke 16:10. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. The realist is the practical guy, the down-to-earth guy. And both of those sacred texts speak to just being down-to-earth, practical, and doing what is yours to do. My poem this morning is by Alexandra Mochman. The world is driven by competitive self-interest. Everybody wants the best, primarily concerned with the success, which leads and gives access to a better and appropriate life. That's for what we strive. To incline to literal truth and pragmatism, just a normal thinking, no elitism. Matters have an inevitable existence, and everything got their own persistence. Facts and what we learned from the past, these are the things which last. Rules and structures are a need in this life to compete. Being reasonable, that's all, and it's the final call. Excuse me. That poem, I believe, was entitled The Realist. So my story this morning is from Brenda Yoder. She starts off with a quote from the Bible, from Psalms 121:2, which says, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." She says, "I felt helpless as I read proposed legislation that would adversely affect students with whom I work. As a school counselor, I wondered how to advocate for vulnerable children in situations that lawmakers might not fully understand. I considered ranting on social media. Comments, likes, and shares are empowering when you lack control. Deep in my heart, though, I knew the internet was not the place to respond. A friend encouraged me to contact key lawmakers. I was skeptical that my input would make a difference. I spent hours reading the bill, taking notes, emailing concerns, and calling legislative offices. I was exhausted after staying up late doing this for two consecutive nights while working all day at school. There was no response from those I contacted, and I felt defeated. I wrestled with Jesus about what to do next. Is it time to write that post? Take matters into my own hands? As I started crafting a social media post, Jesus impressed upon me to pray about the situation. Restraint rather than rant felt contradictory to the immediate gratification of online validation. But I refrained from commenting about the bill on social media. Eventually, the legislation was defeated. I don't know if the energy I used petitioning lawmakers helped, but I do know that when I feel helpless, prayer, obedience, and faith are the best actions to take. I took that message to my online account, and finally, something to post about." I love that story because that really is a realist in action. My Signs of Mind reading this morning is entitled Affirm Our Universal Wholeness. The first is from the Vedic meditation, which says, Universal wholeness seeks expression through everything. We are calling it simply life. But the religionist calls it God. The philosopher calls it reality. Life is infinite energy coupled with limitless creative imagination. The second quote from Ernest Holmes, The Science of Mind, says, "This power within you is the same that holds the planets in space. The power back of your word is perfect law fulfilled and returned to you is perfect strength." Excuse me. The author writes, "We affirm our wholeness as the microcosm that is our individual lives, and that universal wholeness that is the macrocosm of all that is." Holmes calls the manifest universe the body of God, and says that it is the logical and necessary outcome of the infinite self-knowingness of God. Your life, then, must also be the logical and necessary outcome, expressing as the same self-knowingness. It's all the same thing. Near and far, large and small, these are physical attributes that cannot describe infinite divine presence. Holmes's teacher, Thomas Troward, wrote, "Because the originating life principle is infinite, it is a single unit, and consequently, wherever it is at all, the whole of it must be present." Be with this thought for a moment. If you haven't heard such a concept before, it can be mind-altering and life-changing. The allness of God is the allness of you. Everything known in the universe is available to you. Everything that can be expressed in the universe can be expressed by you. All that's missing is for us to embrace and embody our universal wholeness. So, let's open our minds to ever greater possibilities and fly. So, my beloveds, if you haven't already, I invite you to close your eyes as we go within for this morning's reflective meditation. As always, I like to remind you of the words of Job, who said, "It is the Spirit of God that has made me. It is the breath of the Almighty that gives me life." As we take the next 3 deep breaths in, let us be cognizant that we are breathing in the life-giving, energizing, renewing, restorative breath of God. Inhale, blow the diaphragm, and breathe in the breath of life. Hold. Gently, slowly release. Inhale. Hold. Gently, slowly release. For the third and final time, inhale. Hold. Gently, slowly release. this morning's reflective meditation is entitled Light Within the Shadows by Reverend Dr. Michelle Wadley. Please affirm for yourself. I invite all aspects of my shadow into my whole expression. There is one power, one presence, one glorious love. It is effervescent, brilliant, and beautiful. And it is always availing itself to, through, and as be. This one seeks to have its way with me, and I open my heart and invite it in. And here in this moment, we are in divine relationship. This one has infinite access to me because it is as close as my breath, as near as my hands and feet. This relationship paves the way for healing, revealing and total integration of my human self to the self that is God ordained. This happens in the most potent and powerful way possible. On this day, I invite all facets of my being that I have created out of the need to survive, to move in closer to my heart. I declare that every single aspect of my shadow is waking up and remembering the beauty sheathed within the shadow. I call my shadow forth so that we, my shadow and I, may also live in a beautiful and divine relationship. I cease criticizing my shadow, and I cease making myself wrong because of it. No longer will I judge any aspect of myself. I remain committed to accepting, loving, forgiving, and integrating all parts of who I am. O glorious one, I bask in the beauty of love, which is constantly present, and I celebrate all parts of me, as I label them good and very good. Spirit responds with an overwhelming yes to this invitation. And right here and now, Spirit and me dance together. As I embrace every single aspect of my being, the light, the love, and the power that exist at the heart of my shadow, come forth to be fully, beautifully embraced and expressed. From a foundation of pure love and grounded in complete gratitude, I surrender this word to love, to the law, and to the awe of life itself. And so it is. Take a deep breath in as we allow that powerful reflective meditation to resound within our being. And as we enter into our circle of prayer, we are invited to include anything or anyone that is in need of prayer at this time. We know that God is the Spirit, the life force, the presence, the power that is everywhere present at every point in space and time. As our Science of Mind reading shared this morning, the allness of God is everywhere. Right where you are, you too have connection to the allness of God as you, in you, through you. Mother, Father, God, thou who art the sacred, the holy of holies, known by many names, but none can contain the allness, the fullness that you are. As we consciously come into communion with you this morning, asking that we allow the stories that limit us, that we have believed about ourselves, be released. That we recognize both the archetypes, the realist within ourselves, and those aspects that need to be developed, as well as the shadow aspects that need to be healed and embraced and embodied. We recognize the shadow side, the victimhood that we may have expressed, experienced, or have felt, and maintain that as the story we believe about ourselves. It is time to heal it, release it, and let it go. We know that the truth about us, that we are made in your image, that image in likeness is the truth of who we are and whose we are. We have allowed the narratives, the stories that we have falsely told ourselves, believed about ourselves, that have limited ourselves, has distorted the truth of who we are. We are one with you, that infinite life, that infinite love and infinite law that is ever abiding at the core and at the center of our being, that simply awaits our faith and remembrance and recognition to connect and to communicate and to express. For it is written that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. We are to look beyond the stories, the narratives, the things we have wrongly felt, believed, or told ourselves, to remember the truth of who we are as children of the Most High God and joint heirs of Christ. Mother, Father, God, as we travel through this thing, this life, this journey, this time on this earth, let us release anything and everything that prohibits our expression, our awareness, our understanding of this truth, this glorious, unchanging truth that we are you in expression in the micro. And all that you are in the macro, we are as well. That right where we are at any given time or place, the allness, the fullness, the totality of God is. Let us stop praying to you as if you are something in the sky, separate from us, apart from us. And let us know that you are the life force that is in us. And let us remember that prayer is simply the self, the small self, speaking to its true self, the higher self, the God self. Mother, Father, God, at this time we take a moment to hold in our hearts all of those that are in need of their healing, those that are in hospitals, at home, in hospices, in camps, struggling in homelessness and streets that are in need of healing at this time. That healing that could be of the physical body, the emotional, the mental, the spiritual, the financial, the social. There's a healing that is needed across our world at this time. Whilst it's all too easy to become overwhelmed with the need that is existing, here in this consciousness, we know that there is nowhere where you are not. We know that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think. So right here, right now, we each are holding in our hearts the peace, the joy, the love, the justice, the equity that not only do we want for ourselves, but we want for all people and all sentient beings. We know that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think. So with this truth, with this belief, with this affirmation, we surrender the need for healing for our world and for every individual to you at this time. Offering up heartfelt thanks and praise and glory to you. For your infinite grace, your endless blessings, your eternal mercies, we are ever, ever grateful. And so it is. And so it is. And so it is. Take a deep breath in this morning as we do our movement prayer. Stretch your hands towards the sky. Wiggle your fingers and affirm aloud. I am one with all that is. Cross your palms over your heart and affirm. I am love expressing in human form. Bring your hands as if in prayer in front of your lips and affirm. I speak only words that uplift and are positive. Drop your hands to your sides, facing outwards, and affirm. I am grateful for every blessing in my life. Bend your elbows, make small circles with your wrists, and affirm. I release all limiting thoughts and beliefs. Take a deep breath in as I unmute the phones for morning's affirmation and Buddhist reflection. Oh, I'm sorry, for whatever reason the phones are not unmuting. So, affirm for yourself right where you are, this morning's Science of Mind affirmation. My word is the word of God. My life is the life of God. I am whole. Buddhist reflections, if anyone has hurt or harmed me, knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed, I freely forgive them, and I ask forgiveness. If I have hurt or harmed anyone, knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed, I forgive the past and close the door. I forgive all and resentment is dissolved. I forgive myself and I'm at peace. I accept myself and I am free. May I feel protected and safe, contented and at peace. May my physical body provide me with strength. May my life unfold smoothly and with ease. May I be happy. May I be peaceful. May I be free. May my friends be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. May those that challenge me be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. May all beings be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. I am human in expression, divine in creation, and limitless in potentiality. Our prayer of intention, I am the light of God within and without, radiating brightly. I am the love of God within and without, expressing unconditionally. I am the power of God within and without, manifesting exuberantly. I am the presence of God within and without, eternal and unceasingly. Our rumination for this week, Rumi says, reality is blocked by form and image. So my beloved, as we come to the close of today's Sunday Soul, my benediction for you this morning. Mother, Father, God, on this day, I ask you grant this request, that we may know who we are and what we are every moment of every day, that we may be a catalyst for light and love and bring inspiration to those whose eyes we meet, that we may have the strength to stand tall in the face of conflict and the courage to speak our voice even when we're scared, that we may have the humility to follow our heart and the passion to live our soul's desires, that we may seek to know the highest truth and dismiss the gravitational pull of our lower self, that we may embrace and love the totality of ourselves, our darkness as well as our light, that we may be brave enough to hear our heart, to let it soften, so that we may gracefully choose faith over fear. Today is our day to surrender anything that stands between the sacredness of our humanity and our divinity, that we may be drenched in holiness and engulfed by your love. May all else melt away. And so it is. That was by Debbie Ford. Beautiful. So, my beloveds, I get to share with you on this series some of my favorite records. Well, not records anymore, but music. And this one that I want to share with you today is entitled Blessed Be by Sarah Jewers and Madison Lyon Ward. Enjoy.
I was tired and worn. He picked me up.
I trust you enjoyed it as much as I love it. That was Sarah Dewar, Madison Wineward, and Blessed Be. My beloveds, I wish you a very blessed and happy Sunday and a week that is full of joy. And I look forward to joining you again next Sunday for Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. Until, peace and blessings.